Thank you for joining us today as we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. As we've been going through this particular book, when it's our week to study the Word of God. Join us next week also as our brother Jeff Buckles will be the speaker. First, a word of prayer. Father, we come into your presence again, thanking you for the Word of God and asking that you open it up to each one that's listening today, whether they be saved, whether they be an unbeliever in need of Christ. We just ask your guidance again in his name. Amen. John chapter 8. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convinced by their own, or convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Verse 12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We've read the first 12 verses of John chapter 8. And as we see the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry here upon the Mount Olives, we see early in the morning. What a picture here, just from the very outset, that the one that is called the light of the world, coming into a new day, early in the morning, we see how darkness turns to light. As every day, the Lord gives us that great illustration by the sun coming up and the light comes into the world. So we see here in a tremendous way, in a spiritual way, that here early in the morning, as they were in the temple, here is the true light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes into their midst and begins to teach them, coming into the midst of those that are dark, their hearts are darkened with sin, and he, being the light of the world, would teach them. But we see an interesting story unfolding, again, as we see so often, continually through chapters 5 through 11 of this book, we see the Pharisees. Those that would rather point the finger at others and to acknowledge their own need for salvation. They were going about trying to establish their own righteousness. So we see here the scribes and the Pharisees brought to the Lord Jesus Christ a woman which had been taken in the very act of adultery. So we see here as they challenge him, saying that we should stone her according to the law and Moses. But what would you say we should do? See, they were tempting him. As we see again through the middle of the book of John, continually, these ones who would not look at their own sin was putting themselves in a position to see the very principle taught with them as the very principal characters of how ones can cast a stone at others and see not their own sin. They had come here trying to tempt the Lord, and the Lord used them to show a great picture and a principle that you must turn to the Lord yourself and acknowledge your own sin. And yet, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees how these ones would leave as their conscience convicted them. They could not stand up to the pressure. They could not stand there in the midst of the one that was the light of the world as he challenged them when he said, the one who has not sinned may cast the first stone. They knew good and well that they could not stand up to the test that was given them. It's interesting how continually when ones would tempt and test the Lord and challenge him, he would turn the tables and show who he was and show that he was the one that the Father has given all judgment to. The Father has given all judgment to the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one that was going to be their judge. He's the one that is our judge. Whether you're saved or lost, you know Christ is your Savior. One day you'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ concerning the things done in your body as a believer. But if you know not Christ as your Savior and Lord, we see that you will stand before him at the great white throne of judgment. Those that do not know Christ will be judged then concerning their eternal destiny. The lake of fire is the destiny for those that meet him as their judge at the great white throne. At that point, it's too late to determine your destiny. So there's two different judgments, but yet the same judge. The light of the world is the judge as well. So we see here, think with me in Leviticus chapter 4. If you remember there in the Old Testament book where it showed the different offerings that the Old Testament priests would offer up for the sin of themselves and the people, they would offer up all those blood sacrifices of the animals leading up to the time of Christ, when Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And now there's no need of those animal sacrifices. But in the Old Testament economy, there was the different sacrifices. In Leviticus 4, speaks of the sin offering. And then in Leviticus 8, it speaks of the preparation, the consecration of the priest to serve in the sanctuary. There, they gave a sin offering as one of the offerings. And in both places, you see where they put their hands upon that animal, put their hands upon the head of that animal that was being slain as a sin offering to God. What does this speak to us? It speaks to us of how they identified themselves with that sin offering by laying their hands upon it. That speaks to you and I that we must come before the Lord and identify ourselves as sinners. We see that was what the problem was with these ones, the Pharisees that brought this adulterous woman to the Lord. Yes, she was a sinner. She needed Christ, but they needed Christ just as well. You know, you can take a lot of people in this world that are greatly moral. You can take people that are outwardly terrible sinners. But if in both cases they know not Christ as their Savior, they're both going to hell just as fast. For we don't know if we have another breath in our lungs. And you can go to hell and spend eternity there, whether you're a moral sinner or a self-righteous sinner, or a blatant, outward, obvious sinner. But we know that Christ came to save sinners. Look with me, if you have the scripture in front of you, with another good illustration, I trust, from the Word of God, Luke chapter 18. Again, here's a picture of the attitude of a publican in comparison to a Pharisee. The Lord was speaking here, and he spake this parable unto ones, Luke 18 and 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we see here the attitude of a Pharisee again, saying, I thank you, God, that I'm not like these other people. And he named different sins that are not pleasing to God. But the point is his attitude. He was saying that I'm not like them. Look at what I do. He was showing God his self-righteousness, all the money and the prayer that he offered up. Yet, if you know not Christ as your Savior, these things mean nothing to God. They are dead works in the sight of the living God. So we see the attitude there that this publican came, or that is a tax collector, he came and would not even look up to heaven. He had such guilt for his sin. And he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the attitude God's looking for. Repentance. Identifying yourself with sin. With your own sin. So when we see how they would put their hands in the Old Testament upon that sacrifice they was about to offer up when it was a sin offering, they would be identifying themselves with sin. And until we're like that publican or the priest putting his hands upon the sin offering, until we're in that condition to where we are acknowledging and identifying ourselves with sin, we need not point to the other. The man or woman beside us may be lost as well, but we are not justified by pointing out others when it comes to eternal salvation. We need to identify ourselves, as Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we go back to John chapter 8, as we continue down in this passage, what happened with the Lord and this woman? After the others saw that the Lord had bent down, instead of answering them the way that perhaps they had liked him to, he wrote upon the ground. I believe it's the only time you see the Lord in his recorded time upon the earth writing physically. But it's ironic in one sense that he's the one that's called the Word of God. And he's the one that is the author of the Word of God. Yet here we see him literally writing. We don't know exactly what he was writing. Perhaps he was writing some of their sins on the ground. We don't know. But we see that they were convicted and they had to leave. The older ones left first. It's been said before, perhaps they knew they had sin. They had lived long enough to know that they were sinners. And then the younger ones followed suit. So we see also in chapter 8 of John, the attitude of the Lord when he said, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Well, we see here that no man, and the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So we see that he is willing to forgive our sins. But don't forget the last part of the verse, number 11. After he said that he doesn't condemn you to this woman, it was an obvious sinner caught in the very act of adultery. He said, go and sin no more. So we see there that grace is the means of which we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ and his shed blood for our sins. But he gives us instruction, as he did to this woman, go and sin no more. Someone that's truly repentant, that means their mind has had a change, a heart change. Repentance means about face and go the other way. So when he said, I don't condemn you, he also said, go and sin no more. That would be evidence of a change in her life. So we see here finally in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How interesting. So we see here, again, chapters 8 and 9 together speak of the light of the world. We'll have to close with that. Join us next week on Sunday morning at 10:15. Thank you.